This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Screen View episode 24, a special Screen View action packed with none of the original Screen View members, except for me, Peter Van. We can just start actually this way. I'm sorry. That's John DeLuna, Nicole Hale, Brian Kilby,
Hello.
And XV. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Hello.
Hello.
You're good.
Hello.
Well, we are here to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that is The Avengers.
Who made the most money at the box office this weekend?
The Avengers made a crap ton of money this weekend.
I know, man. I should have taken out stock.
In case you didn't know, they made $200.3 million this weekend. It did not win overall. It didn't beat Harry Potter, but it did beat everything else, and it pulled in $80.7 million over the on just Friday alone, and apparently it's been showing for over like 4,000 screens or something like that, like 4,200 screens.
You said it didn't beat Harry Potter. I thought that it actually was the number one grossing weekend. Or had the highest grossing weekend of any movie in history.
I thought too had it above Deadly Hallows.
Yeah, it was the number one grossing for
opening day. Then I'm sorry, it was opening day. Okay. Opening day, Harry Potter was $91 million, and Marvel's The Avengers was $80 million.
It's made $640 million worldwide. It will hit the $1 billion club. Probably this week.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it's supposed to hit like half, I think. I mean, overseas, it's already pretty much made so much cash already. So It's going to be pretty amazing. It's going to make a lot of money. Foreign-wise, it's already made $441 million, and that's before all that. They're slower Italian to come over here. So, it's going to make crazy a lot of money, and it made 82.7% this weekend, like of the domestic box
office. Crazy.
Wow.
And it made a lot of money, probably a lot to do with the fact that it was in IMAX and IMAX 3D, and it was loaded to no end on those showings, so it was pretty hard to get 2D showings. But I guess that's pretty much enough of how much money it made.
Now, it's
that's
time
just the
for
movie.
The topic.
That doesn't include the merchandise that is taken in. I mean, how many kids have run out and got their some toys already or costumes? And yeah, that's crazy.
So for a film that made a lot of money, it also did really well in reviews. It currently sits at 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, so that's awesome.
That is pretty insane. I think. I guess we can get to I can get to you guys, and I can start with this guy up here, John. How did you like The Avengers?
I loved it. I thought it was all I could ask for and a lot more. I am I'm not a huge comic book reader, admittedly, but I do consume just about every other media, and certainly in the last, well, almost all my life, but certainly the last 20 years or so, between cartoons and video games and several other pieces of entertainment, DVDs and direct-to-Blu-ray movies and stuff like that, you get a ton of exposure to these characters, so I feel like I know these characters at least in that way. I feel like I know many, many takes on these characters by many, many different people, so I had a pretty good idea of what to expect and what these characters are supposed to be, and certainly over the last 4 years, almost all of them essentially have had a movie or two of their own. So I felt like I had a good grasp on what this was going to be, and I came away very, very pleased. So I thought the humor was really good. I think the humor in big movie, big summer blockbusters can be kind of weird and kind of forced and kind of not funny in a lot of ways. And I thought the humor was perfect. I thought it was well-timed. I thought the acting was really good for the most part. I don't think anybody mailed it in. I thought everybody came across as having a good time in the movie and, like, really enjoying themselves. And I thought that the pacing was really good. So another thing that really bothers me with, what's really bothered me since Titanic and really Avatar, after Avatar it got really bad, is the timing and editing of movies, especially summer blockbusters. They are all at least like 2.5 hours long. And if you don't know what you're doing, that can be so painful. Like the last half hour of summer blockbusters can be so bad. I'm talking to you, Michael Bay. So like Transformers 3 had like an hour long final battle. And I'm not even exaggerating. No. It was like an hour long in the city. Mm-hmm.
That was one of his talking points. He was like, I'm going to make a movie that's an hour at the end. It's going to be great.
Yes, and he bragged about it.
Yeah.
So this movie may have spent like 45 minutes in its final battle or so, but I couldn't tell because it was so well-paced and it moved along and things happened. And like I said, I really enjoyed it. The one thing I would like to say about the movie, too, is I kind of had this moment... And it was in the back half. It was somewhere in the second act. It may have been after the Avengers were given something to avenge, and we can talk about that later. But I got this kind of like moment where I realized, oh, my God, I'm watching an Avengers movie that has been built up over the last 4 years with these characters. All these stars are in it, and it's good. And I'm here watching it at midnight, and this is amazing. So I kind of had this moment where it's like, wow, this is really happening. I can't believe this is happening. And that was, I think, like the coolest moment for me, just kind of realizing where I was and what I was watching. And like on top of all of that, it was good.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Nicole, what do you say?
When I heard about this movie coming out, I was like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. But I did have my doubts. Just like there's too many big names on the screen, you know, like, you know how you have too many chiefs running the tribe. I'm like, okay, it's just not going to mesh together, but they proved me wrong. Each one of these characters had perfect amount of screen time. There wasn't really one of the Avengers that was focused on. Everyone had their little side stories, and the overall story about bringing them together really worked, and I was like, I was so impressed, you know, Joss Whedon, way to go, buddy, you know, and I like the characterizations that they made, even for the more minor characters that people probably didn't know of, like Hawkeye and Black Widow. They got their stories in, you got to know the characters, and that was great. A lot of people don't know, you know, a whole lot about Black Widow's story, and I thought they did a good job. But the one thing I was mostly impressed with was how they portrayed Hulk, because I think this is the perfect movie for Hulk, because you get the right amount of time and humor and action with him in this movie, where it kind of failed in the bigger movies, in the two-hour movies, because they focused too much on his personal life, I guess, in the last two movies. And in this one, you just get what people want to see Hulk. You want to see him just tear up the place, have a few funny things happen, and just do what Hulk does, you know. And I think, yeah, that worked out great. So overall, I was very happy with it. I've seen it twice now, so.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Great, great. Brian, with your Frozen video, if you could refresh as well, sir, please. Now, you seem to be, I think, breaking with this bunch here. Why don't you tell us what you thought about The Avengers?
It's good. It's a good movie. I think the core competency that Joss Whedon had to master was bringing the characters together as a team and having it make sense. And them working well and interacting together. And he knocked that out of the park. I mean, most of my issues with the movie are sort of nitpicky, admittedly. So, I mean, I think the spoiler death of Agent Coulson was
Oh, no, you did it.
Highly predictable. And I do like the fact that Nick Fury manipulated them after the fact. I mean, that was a clever way of, you know, working with a highly predictable and, you know, just easily implemented or easily it's an easy well to go to sort of to bring them together because they're in a moment of crisis. You know, what are we going to do? We might as well work together. Okay. So, I mean, I didn't much care for that. I don't even remember the name, but the council that appeared at the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie that supposedly is some sort of shadow organization that has the ability to deploy a nuclear weapon, I hated that. I hated that so much. I mean, it served no purpose in the movie except to drop an A-bomb at the end of the film. I mean, I that could have been handled much better. I love Thor. I thought in Thor that he had like a tremendous amount of charisma and character that, you know, that he brought on screen. In this, he basically played a guy who just happens to be Loki's brother and has a hammer and he's pissed off at Loki. And he's basically, he gets very little characterization, and that was really, really disappointing. And the villains, well, another character that I felt that didn't get their fair shake was Hawkeye. I mean, not to get too much comic in the movie discussion, but in the Avengers, Hawkeye is the Avenger with the most personality. And, you know, Hawkeye in the movie, I mean, other than having a bow and having the same name, he bears no resemblance at all to Hawkeye from the comic.
And I gotta say, I am so glad they stayed away from that damn costume design. I hate his comic book costume.
I don't give a costume. He's just personality. He's just some angry guy who kills people. I mean, in the comic, Hawkeye just, you know, he bears a tremendous resemblance to Ultimate Hawkeye, who's a loathsome, terrible character. But the comic Hawkeye, he's wily, he's loyal, but also at the same time, he makes you think that he could, you know, stab you in the back at any moment to, you know, to do what he needs to do. He's just this great character, and it just didn't come across.
Well, Hawkeye originally started out in the original Marvel comics as a villain.
Yeah.
The Tales of Suspense, so.
But yeah, he just doesn't bear any resemblance to the character. I mean, that's a minor nitpick. But I mean, the villains, probably one of my biggest complaints is that the villains themselves really sort of. Loki was great. Loki was awesome. Don't get me wrong there. But the aliens were kind of, you know, generic, and they were just there in large numbers, and ho hum. They don't resemble really anything, hardly. Apparently, according to McFeely in the Fanboy Versus review, which was awesome. You'll want to listen to it or watch it.
We had a lot of fun.
I really enjoyed that. They are the ultimate version of the Skrulls.
The Skrulls, but yeah.
But the problem is, the ultimate versions of the Avengers, the Ultimates or the Ultimate Avengers, suck uniformly. I mean, that's a well you don't need to go to. I mean, yeah, so that was kind of fail. And I didn't like one of the surprise endings, but we can get to that later. But overall, those are like six, seven things that I didn't like about it out of the like 1,000 things in it that were great. 85% very satisfied with it. It's just that the 15% that I wasn't satisfied with is just really glaring and obvious to me. It's just hard for me to subtract it out.
Okay. XV, your turn, sir.
I don't think there's a lot left to say that they haven't already covered, but, Avengers at least met all the expectations I had going in, if not going beyond that. And that's for better or worse, too, because, I mean, one thing I expected was, okay, this is basically going to be Iron Man 2.5. It's going to be the Robert Downey Jr. show, and for a lot of the time it was, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because he can manage that. You know, he can be the focal point, and everybody else can still participate just fine with him basically being the focus of how the group interacts. And on a related note, the more I see of the movie Iron Man, the more whoever they have, I don't remember the voice actor's name, but whoever they have doing Iron Man in the Avengers cartoon. I mean, it's just such a perfect version of the Robert Downey Jr. take on the character. One of my favorite parts was the final confrontation between Hulk and Loki, just because, you know, the movie version of the Asgard, they're not like the comic ones. They can be beaten into the ground and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically what happened. It was just, it was the greatest Hulk moment in the movie, I think.
Oh, no.
The Hulk movie, right.
Puny God. for 4 years of build-up on it, I think a lot of people had every right to be worried, okay, this might not actually pull off the way we want it to, they want it to, but it totally did, and I think Joss Whedon gets a lot of credit for actually bringing all those characters together and making them mesh.
Yeah
absolutely.
The group dynamics were just so strong in it, even with Iron Man pulling out in front. It really resounded strongly with me, and it was a great time the whole way through. The pacing was so good, it just kept going and going, but not in the bad way. It's like, how can this still be going? Haven't we been here for like 3 hours already? There's so much stuff going on. It just goes mm-hmm. from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. You know, it's great.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite points, and I hate to go back to the review that Fanboy Versus had, but I'm going to. the point was, based on your bias toward or against a character, you can feel that that character may have got way more screen time than anyone else. And I think that Iron Man getting the most screen time is mostly a perception thing, because you could easily see Hulk getting too much screen time or Captain America. I think they.
I thought it was Captain that got more screen time than anyone, but that was just me. But.
Yeah, I thought Hulk, but the thing is, what I like about the way that the characters are handled in this movie was, since it's an ensemble cast, you can't focus too much on one character unless it becomes that character's movie. So all of the characters, especially Thor, were superficial compared to, you know, their portrayal in their own movies, which makes sense. But they hit the high points, and they really condense down what those characters are and are supposed to be without going too deep into those characters. So I thought Iron Man was pitch perfect. Hulk was amazing. Cap was great. And I'm a huge Cap fan. In fact, if you're watching the video, you can see my Captain America print back here. It's one of many Captain America collectibles that I have. Love Captain America, and I was totally pleased with his portrayal in the movie. And I was just, overall, I really did like the characterizations, except for Thor and Hawkeye. But
I can agree with you on the Hawkeye thing, because, I mean, Hawkeye is a character that I have an understanding of how he is in the comics typically, and that's just not what this Hawkeye was at all.
Well, you got to understand, he was under Loki's control, so he took out that raw emotion that he had, and he maximized that emotion. So that's why you're going to see him not really be him until he actually came to his senses. And that's when you start seeing the actual Hawkeye, is after, you know, when Scarlett Johansson, you know, Black Widow, kicked his butt. You know, you got to understand, he wasn't really himself anyways.
Oh, I'm basing it early on his after his concussion when she
right.
the crap out of him. Yeah, I mean, none of the other stuff counts. And basically, it's the same thing for his brief appearance in Thor. It's like he's a totally another person, which is fine. I mean, it doesn't, you know, bother me so much. But considering they can get everything else so pitch perfect, it's just.
Well, I think the thing too with that Hawkeye, this Hawkeye has not had a focused story all to himself yet for us to like get this take on the character and accept it as part of this universe. We're defaulting back to what we're really familiar with, which is the comic, and mm-hmm. Hawkeye is nothing like the comic version.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's just been kind of, at best, a supporting character in a handful of scenes before this. And to some extent in this movie, too. He's kind of just,
right.
He carries one scene to the next, but he doesn't really drive the plot like everybody else.
Now, that being said, you know, I could completely take the next Marvel Studios production being, you know, Black Widow and Hawkeye, you know, feature on them.
I've heard other people throw that out. I just really want my frickin' Wasp and Giant Man. I want Wasp and Giant Man. That doesn't make sense. they were excluded. I want them.
Well, rumor has it that they're going to do an Ant-Man, you know, and there's also rumor going around that they're going to be doing Black Panther, so. Never know.
Yeah. Now, here's a question.
For the next Avengers.
So this is a random thing. I know. Like many people, we were actually on New Soundwave talking about how it's sad some of these properties cannot intertwine into this universe for obvious reasons. One of them is Fantastic Four. Oh, God, the Fantastic Four movies. Anyway, what's sad is, like, I wonder if they could do a loophole and get Super Skrull into the next one, because that would be a funny, interesting way of, like, intertwining the powers of the Fantastic Four into this universe without having the Fantastic Four. But I would love to see any bit of the Fantastic Four in an actually enjoyable movie, which would require, you know, them being wrapped into this universe, and I guess Super Skrull would be a fun way of wrapping them in.
I don't think the Skrulls are a huge deal with the Fantastic Four. I mean, they're kind of a generic Marvel entity. Kind of like, you know, a spoiler, the character that shows up at the end of the movie
we'll
is not
talk about that a little later, yeah.
Not an Avengers villain. Generic. Sorry.
Go ahead. True. That's true. Yeah. I gotcha.
I think I'm just really surprised by, like Nicole, I was really worried because I was seeing all these clips and stuff, and I was like, I don't know. I'm starting to get reservations about this movie. I'm not really sure how this is going to go because of the way it got cut apart and it was like cheesy and things like that. But then when it finally got to that moment in the film that it actually occurred, I feel like it actually worked really, really well. And like you guys said, like everybody brought their A game and everybody did exactly what they were supposed to. So I think it was really well done. I understand why they sort of changed Hawkeye because there was just so much else going on that, you know, they obviously wanted to put him in there, but they weren't really sure how to do it. And they didn't want it by the time near the end of that film. He was kind of done by then. There was like that was where the big battle started. So they couldn't really. Mm-hmm. He didn't really have much time to develop. And there was like there is a talk that he's going to probably get his own movie, right, or something like that. So
that would be cool.
So maybe there's a way for him to shine there. And he was only in Thor for like what two minutes at most.
Not even that. I think it was like four lines.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like he didn't even film it with everybody else, right? They just mm-hmm. did a little cameo of him standing there. So,
mm-hmm.
I think overall the humor was really, really great. I mean the theater really loved the humor. I think the one that they liked the most was, you know, he's like, oh, Thor's like, oh, he's my brother. So you watch out what you say to him. And it's like, he killed 80 people in 4 days. And he's like, oh.
Well, he's adopted.
and then after the Hulk and Thor beat the crap out of everyone for no reason at all, the Hulk just punches him, you know, over to the side. It's just that kind of humor. It just comes out of nowhere. And I understand we were talking about this on New Soundwave, which, you know, like everybody's got like these witty, you know, quips and remarks and things like that. But I feel like the way it was done here, it was just really it kept the pacing going. It was the dialogue was very sharp and it worked really well. And he obviously had a lot of fun writing for Tony Stark and writing for the Incredible Hulk, Mark Ruffalo is real. I was actually at first when they, I was like, I don't know if I'm really going to like this guy, but he was really, really good. And John said this, right, John? You said we were sending out an email and you're like, this is the best Hulk movie ever. And
oh, yeah.
And it is
not even close.
So, yeah. What, Incredible Hulk Returns is pretty freaking great.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for bringing it back, old man. Thanks a lot.
But no, Ruffalo's Banner was really good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do like the fact that they didn't make the Hulk, he wasn't like ripped in every single way possible. They actually gave him like a little bit of a flubber like stomach. It was kind of
I like that too. Well, I liked how they actually incorporated Mark Ruffalo's face onto the Hulk. It wasn't the generic Hulk look. You could actually see Bruce Banner in Hulk, and I like that.
Yeah. I think apparently it was like it used to be like even with like the Eric Bana, Edward Norton days, it would be them being Bruce Banner, and then another person completely being the Incredible mm-hmm. Hulk, like the Hulk. And this is like the first one where they actually used Mark Ruffalo's motion capture to build out the Hulk in person.
And it worked great. Yeah.
Ragno is still ripped. He can still totally pull that off.
But oh, apparently sure. he did the voice for all the Hulks too. Like yep. Lou Ferrigno.
I think he did the voice in the second one. I didn't know that he did the voice in
He did it for this one too, yeah.
My favorite part of the Hulk's look, at least for the first appearance, purple pants.
And he wasn't even wearing purple pants, was he?
No, he wasn't. That's the great thing about and it's Hulk, because Bruce Banner could be wearing blue jeans or shorts.
And it just somehow pants. Like he somehow dyes it and becomes purple.
It's amazing. I loved it.
All right, well I guess we can get to the which I would like to thank Joss Whedon for not putting it at the tail complete end of the credits, because you'd have to sit there for like 30 minutes because this movie was $220 million. So obviously there's a lot of credits to go through and a lot of people to thank. But like 10 seconds into the credits, they played the special bonus, which was Thanos.
They played a special bonus.
Yeah.
Two?
Yes.
They turn on the lights. I didn't wait.
You should.
Oh no!
Did miss any like plots?
Oh, but it was the best.
All right, so let's go to the first one first. Then let's talk about Thanos first, and then you guys can spoil it for me afterwards. But yeah, they usually leave the lights off if there's a special at the end. But they turn off the lights after Thanos.
Don't worry, Peter. It fooled everybody except for me at the screening I saw.
Oh, really?
I knew to sit and wait until everything was over.
Should have waited.
I'd stay until that blue screen of death blinds me.
Yes.
Okay, it's time to go.
So John and I will be surprised when it comes. Thanos, what do you guys see from like this character, and where do you see him popping up in?
I don't know. I mean, the Infinity Gauntlet showed up in Thor. It was in something that Odin had in his armory or the whatever it was.
The chamber of weapons.
The chamber. But I mean, I don't know that they'll even go in that direction, because I love the Infinity Gauntlet. Oh my God, I love that. It's one of my favorite Marvel stories. It's just vintage for that time period. But I don't really think it'll work. I think they'll probably just play Thanos off as some sort of intergalactic, I don't know, despot or something. It'll probably just be a rough Marvel analog for Darkseid, which he sort of is, but I would say that he's a much richer character than Darkseid is. Maybe they'll go Infinity Gauntlet, maybe not. I just expect that he'll just be this big alien guy. I was really disappointed that it wasn't Kang.
All right.
That's who I thought it was going to be. It was clearly not.
I wanted it to be Kang so bad, and Kang would make sense. Ultron would have been just as great, but it wouldn't.
See, that's
really
what work. I was going to guess it was Ultron.
Without Hank Pym to create Ultron, it would kind of be hard for them to squeeze it in. But Kang would make perfect sense, because he could come in and say, the Avengers are, in Earth history, they're the greatest force for good. I'm coming back to stop them before they truly ever, form. That would have been fantastic. But no, they went with Thanos because of probably name recognition, I guess.
Name recognition. Most of the people after the credits are like, who?
I think as far as Marvel villains go that aren't Spider-Man villains, Thanos would be one of the most well-known.
They were like, the Red Skull got jacked.
Yeah, the Avengers don't really have a lot of good villains that are their own villains. In fact, probably on like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, my favorite villain that has aired so far was Dr. Doom, who of course is, the Fantastic Four's.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because they're obviously they're like a super team and then those people enact their super plots, right? So there's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, you mean like not having their own villains?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Loki had a grand scheme, and he was like, I'm going to enact this grand scheme. And they're like, well, we obviously Thor cannot beat him by himself, so here are those guys.
So if we have to resort to the, arch nemesis or arch nemesis or whatever the plural is of all the Avengers, I mean, we're looking at Loki, Red Skull, Mandarin, and I mean, really, the leader, maybe. I mean, series of films. So they kind of have to go in that direction.
Now, see, just, having the leader as a movie villain would be great if they could get Matt Furrer to play the part as he did on the cartoon. That would be perfect.
You know, the best villain that they could possibly ever muster for the Avengers would be to get Clancy Brown to be Lex Luthor. But of course, he's decent.
They'll bring him back. It's fine, no problem.
Well, just get Clancy Brown to be anyone and it'll work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts
about I was excited when I saw him, to tell you the truth. I was like, oh man, yeah, this is gonna be great. The thing is, I don't know how they're gonna pull it off, because most of the stories that he's in, Dennis is in, they're usually these big, huge arcing stories.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if they're going to incorporate his story with Death, you know, yes, because he yes has that love. He has that love story with
they
her.
They have to. That's my favorite part.
So I'm just like, so I don't know if they're going to involve her. I mean, that would probably be a really, because Joss Whedon, he does a great job with doing the heroic female character. I mean, look at Buffy. I mean, he does a great job. So how would he take this other female character on the other side of the spectrum? So I don't know. I think I would like to see that story, but I just don't know how they'd pull it off in even 3 hours, because like I said, all his stories seem to be arcing many, many comic books, you know. So
yeah,
I would love to see the Infinity Gauntlet, but
it's not gonna be the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Or at least not the Infinity Gauntlet that we know.
Yeah. But you know, no, that's funny. I'm one of these people, I like change. So to see maybe Thanos and Death in a different kind of style, hey, that was good for me. So
my basic expectation of it is just, you know, like the bare minimum, Thanos is just going to be another alien invasion story.
Well, at least he's not going to be a cloud.
Yes.
That's not yet. You have to be happy about it. Right? Not yet. Not yet. He releases clouds from his hands.
He's okay, like the smoke monster. I can get on board with this.
All right, so I guess one of you is going to have to tell, you know, what was...
Okay.
What?
Remember, after Iron Man comes back through the portal and Hulk catches him and drops him on the ground?
And then screams at him, yeah.
And after he wakes up, he talks about going to the shawarma restaurant?
Yeah.
So, at the very end, after all the credits... It's just this 30-second scene of them, of the six of them sitting around the table eating gyros.
Oh, that's awesome.
Eating gyros dead
silent,
the world.
In silence. Mm-hmm. Complete
that's
silence.
So great.
I tell this on Family Versus. You look at Mark Ruffalo's character, though, it looks like he's about ready to lose it. He doesn't look like he can keep character. It's like one of those Saturday Night Live bits where they're about ready to break because they're like laughing at their own joke. And I loved it. I was watching him like, he's going to lose it. I mean, and Chris Hemsworth, you know, Thor, he's just dead. He's dead on. He's just like, I just want the sandwich.
It's probably because they starved him all day and he was like, yeah, I didn't eat my chicken.
It was the best thing, because it's like we've all experienced being too so tired, like after like a day's work of like really, like if you've moved and you packed like 1,000 boxes, or if you spent like all day in the garden, you know, your just muscles are aching, you're tired, you just need protein and sleep, and that's exactly where they were.
And the thing is, that restaurant is in, because I've seen it twice now, so I knew what the ending was. You can actually see it in the fight scene, and it totally gets destroyed. And so when you get to the end, you can see, like, the workers cleaning it up while they're eating. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I recognize the restaurant. That's at the very end.
That's pretty cool.
I'm kind of upset I didn't see that now, because that sounds pretty freaking fantastic.
I didn't see it either.
Just watch, what do you do? Watch Mark Ruffalo's reaction.
That's really great. Wow, that's awesome. All right, well, do you guys have any final words before we fully depart and call it a night?
Best Hulk movie ever.
That was my line. No, hey, you know, I guess my parting thought here real quick is, and I was talking to you guys about this, XB and Peter, about this earlier. Actually, Peter, you left by the time we got to this, I think. But it's easy to take for granted how good this movie was, especially under like all the pressure and circumstances around it. Like, this was a near impossible thing to pull off well, and it was pulled off well. So I would never want to take that for granted. So, I mean, I can't sing the praises probably enough of Joss and his people, because it was such an incredible task to pull this off. But also, after watching this, The Dark Knight Rises and the DC movies couldn't look any more like dark and depressing and like a big downer. Yeah. So I'm just really glad that we have this string of comic book movies that are colorful and fun and loud and just kind of enjoyable, because we also have this string of movies which are very much not. So I'm glad we at least have like this little bit of sunshine.
Will it pass The Dark Knight though?
I mean, it's already pretty well on its way.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, The Dark Knight had a sustained audience that kept on going and kept on going and kept on going when other movies...
Yeah, but I don't think that's even a fair comparison, though, because a lot of that was because of the Heath Ledger angle.
But still, I absolutely, positively agree, but the question still stands, will it beat The Dark Knight? And
yes. Maybe if like Mark Ruffalo commits suicide in the next couple weeks.
Oh,
don't even say that.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Too soon. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Too early?
No, I think it's going to, I mean, look how much money, I mean, it's just going off the charts right now. And I don't see it slowing down.
Harry Potter didn't beat The Dark Knight, did it? And it had a bigger opening.
Let's go check it out.
But Harry Potter is not, like, the franchise itself is bigger in other countries, I guess. Do you mean domestically or overall or worldwide?
Both. Either or.
Either or. Okay.
Let's go check it out.
Dark Knight is currently, for domestic gross, is number three at $533 million.
It made well over a billion dollars.
Totally, internationally.
Yeah.
Harry Potter's a tough one, too, because what was Harry Potter, like, the sixth or seventh movie? Something like that? And this string.
Eighth movie. Yeah. Out of seven.
It was almost like this, like, and that was what's been coming out, what, every year?
Yeah.
In that stretch. So it was essentially an annual event, which is a little different.
This is almost a semi-annual event, because it's like we've got two Marvel movies for like the last 5 years.
Yeah, but this one was kind of like the build-up of several years. Worth
yeah, it, I mean, it's different dynamics at play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John's right. We shouldn't at all take for granted that, you know, 4 years in, this actually happened and it turned out good.
Yes,
it turned out fantastic. It turned out it could have been terrible. It could have done really badly.
Well, I think the reason why this movie is going to succeed over Dark Knight is that this movie has something for pretty much anyone. You've got your favorite little characters. You don't have to be a huge comic book fan. You could just go out and have fun for the humor and the action scenes. If you're a big action fan, you're going to go see it. I mean, if you want to be a comic book fan, you're going to go see it. Or if you're a fan of just one of the previous movies. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the other Hulk movies, but I liked Iron Man, you know. And so I just think it has so many different types of people that it's connecting. I think that's what's going to make it more successful.
I think that's a great point. It is fun for the whole family. It's not like, you know, because The Dark Knight, it was a pretty jacked up movie.
That was a messed up movie.
Another advantage the Avengers though has over The Dark Knight is Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
And also,
I think that Marvel definitely has a bigger play in the rest of the world. I mean, you saw that how big it opened up in the foreign box office, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's making bank. It's just it's going off the charts internationally, and that's where it's going to pull through, I think.
I don't know, that Batman manga is pretty awesome. So
yeah, I know it's crazy to say, but I mean, The Dark Knight made in the foreign box office like 400-something million. And the Avengers already made 400 something million overseas.
Yeah. It says right here, Dark Knight internationally made 468 million.
The Avengers is 41 already. It's already there. So it was projected to pass 500 by today overseas, and they just haven't tabulated it yet. So, XV, do you have any final words?
I think I've had my say.
Okay. Well, it could have definitely ended a lot worse. It could have definitely went a lot worse for this movie, it didn't. And it went really, really great. And
I don't know why people are making so much fun of the Green Lantern. It wasn't that bad.
It was pretty rough.
Well, that was something that we were...
pretty rough.
That
pretty,
I was talking
space
to,
chicken.
Yeah.
Giant
okay,
space
okay,
chicken.
Okay, okay. Wait, we got to try this from a different angle, though. Nicole, without Ryan Reynolds in the movie, what would you think of it?
Well, it depends on who was in it.
So it was bad.
Right.
Ryan Reynolds makes a good house.
So if it was like Mickey Rourke as the Green Lantern.
Oh, that was awesome.
I can't stand Mickey Rourke to begin with. Now say when I had Nathan Fillion like it was supposed to be, it would be even better.
Right.
Jonathan Frakes. Sorry. I always thought...
I don't think he'd fill out that uniform quite the same as Ryan Reynolds now.
No.
Well, he'd fill it out, just in the wrong place.
It would be like Comic-Con filling out. That's what it would look like.
No, I really honestly think DC really does need to take a little lessons from Marvel on how to do movies. Marvel's got a good formula, you know?
Marvel Studios, Marvel Studios specifically has got it down. I mean, ever since they came out with Iron Man, it's been a run. It's been a string of just runaway successes. They've made more than one top of another.
In the bag.
DC needs to take their philosophy and apply it to their movies and then apply their old philosophy back to their comics and it would be better. Yeah. But
DC just needs to stop taking themselves so seriously.
Yeah.
And Warner Brothers just needs to get themselves together to actually make these movies. So, which is crazy, right? That you would think that Warner Brothers is a legitimate, movie studio. And you would think that they could pull all the resources and find someone that has... that Marvel has been able to find with all these writers and directors with so much passion.
The problem is the resources are the problem.
Yes.
Warner Brothers wants to do a Kilby and throw as much money as possible at the problem.
Yes. It's a movie by committee.
Yeah, exactly. They think that the more they can pay for this writer and this director is the more power the movie will have. They need to find somebody who understands and respects the content above all else. I was talking to Rob Clay about this just a couple days ago, and we both pretty much agreed the only way we could get a really good Batman movie at any point is if Paul Dini wrote it.
We've gotten two good Batman movies.
Yeah, I think we've gotten some pretty good Batman movies.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think this is another reason why Avengers worked out so well. Joss is a fan. Exactly. He understood these characters. He knew what they were like, and he brought the best of those characters onto the screen. I think that's what helps. You actually need to find someone who's a fan of the movies. And I'm talking to you, Michael Bay, that actually knows their characters, They don't just hear, three or four lines and say, okay, I'll make a movie off of that,
Right. Absolutely. Okay, all right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Oddly enough, everybody on this panel has their own show. It's crazy. It's what's going on over here? So, we've got John DeLuna on New Soundwave. We've got Nicole Hale on Fanboy Versus, which is on
Random Fandom. And her podcast that I can't remember the name of, that's a review show for
The Rescue Center with me and Amy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. John's show, New Soundwave, is always right after Radio Free Cybertron, which is on every Thursdays at 8 p.m. Fanboy Versus at what time, Nicole? What time is that?
Well, it's 2 p.m. Mountain Time. That forgotten time zone that I'm in.
4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. I just like to throw in the Mountain Time zone because people are like, what?
9 p.m. GMT. So
Sundays.
Yeah. Keep scrap your entire EF afternoon and just sit down for two to three good solid hours of Fanboy Versus episodes.
We had a lot of fun today. It was our 100th episode, so go back and find it on iTunes because we had a lot of fun.
It will be posted Monday, May 7th, so check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Brian on the flagship show, Radio Free Cybertron. And then I forget what show you're on next week. You're not important enough for me to remember.
No, I'm kidding.
Because I would never forget superhero time.
He's the host of the Geekcast radio show, isn't he?
I think so. He's like the Yellow Ranger. The Forgotten Ranger.
No, absolutely not. Superhero Time, which is available on tfradio.net every Tuesday. So definitely catch that. And that about wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Anything else that you would like to add? You cannot. We are done. And we will we will be back next time with our actual panel. So good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so with having like four other hosts on the show, you have four other people who want to get the last word in.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a radio-free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.